Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loftin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
This place is pandemonium.
Picked off by Leotis McKelvin at the 35-yard line. Leotis, my man.
This is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the podcast. Good evening. Welcome to the podcast for Tuesday night, January 28th. Thanks very much for tuning in tonight on the podcast. We've got hockey bumping us off the airwaves tonight, but we are back on the air 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow with real live radio from One Bills Drive, and already starting to put together tomorrow night's show. Marv Levy is going to be on the line with us tomorrow night as he gets set to attend the Super Bowl. We're going to talk with Marv tomorrow about Andre Reed and his possible election to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Certainly Marv has some good things to say about Andre Reed, and we'll be joining us tomorrow night to talk about that. Arthur Motes, Bills linebacker, live with us tomorrow night. He's got a program underway we're going to tell you about a little bit later on here in the podcast as he tries to recruit volunteers for the United Way of Buffalo in Western New York. And it could mean some money for the United Way, and it could mean some prestige for Buffalo and for Arthur Motes. So we're going to talk to Arthur Motes live about that tomorrow night. But tonight, podcast time, and coming up tonight, we're still talking a lot about Jim Schwartz, the new defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. And coming up tonight on the podcast, you're going to hear from a guy who spent really the majority of his NFL career playing for Jim Schwartz, Kyle VandenBosch. Remember him? He's been out of the league for a year, played defensive end for the Cardinals, and then in 2005 went to the Tennessee Titans and was a key part of Jim Schwartz's defense there for the Tennessee Titans. Kyle VandenBosch had three straight Pro Bowl years under Jim Schwartz when he was the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. We'll talk with Kyle VandenBosch, his thoughts on Jim Schwartz. He also, and when Schwartz went to Detroit to coach the Lions in 2010, 5 minutes after free agency began, he went and got Kyle VandenBosch. So the two of them have spent a lot of time together, 8 years together, Kyle VandenBosch and Jim Schwartz. And we will reach out to Kyle VandenBosch tonight to get his thoughts on the brand-new defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. That's coming up a little bit later on here in the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Quiet day here at One Bills Drive. Hope you're able to stay warm. It's just chilly wherever you go in these parts these days. Quiet around the complex as the Bills continue to put their coaching staff together. The Bills did announce today that they have agreed to let the Cleveland Browns interview Anthony Weaver to be a coach there. Anthony Weaver is under contract with the Buffalo Bills. Head coach Doug Marrone telling everybody yesterday that he figured he would lose Anthony Weaver to the Browns, and Weaver, it's expected, will sign on with the Cleveland Browns, most likely to be the defensive line coach there. Anthony Weaver came to Buffalo with Mike Patton from the Jets and is now apparently on his way to Cleveland, and the Bills granting Cleveland permission to interview Anthony Weaver. The Bills have some vacancies to fill, and that's where the action's going on upstairs here at One Bills Drive. Couple of vacancies on the defensive side of the ball. One vacancy on the offensive side of the ball, the wide receivers coach. That one is still open. They were interviewing prospects last week for that job in Mobile, but did not close any deals, and no doubt got sidetracked by the departure of Mike Patton and some of the coaches he's taken with him. The Bills will still have to bring on a defensive line coach, assuming that Weaver leaves. He will. They have to bring on at least one linebackers coach. They had two last year, but they've got to bring on one linebackers coach and a defensive quality control coach. So, the Bills have some work to do as far as filling those jobs. Jim Schwartz, you would think, the point man for that emphasis. That's where they are. No announcement today from the Bills on any hirings of their own. Some may come later this week, but right now, interviewing and talking to people about some of those vacancies they have on the staff. And at this point, you're going to hear from Kyle VandenBosch a little bit later on in the podcast, but the more I think about it, a really solid hire to get Jim Schwartz to come here to coach the Bills' defense. Nobody wanted to see Mike Patton leave. Nobody wanted the disruption they have now. You'd have to think that they didn't figure that into their offseason timetable, that they'd spend a week or more, at least a week at this point, trying to reconstruct the defensive coaching staff. But to be able to get Jim Schwartz here, a guy with defensive coordinator experience in the league, and innovator in a defensive style. A guy, and we'll hear Kyle VandenBosch, I think, talk about how he sort of adapts his scheme to the players that he has. I just think it's a really solid hire. And the fact that Schwartz was so eager to come here this year, I think, is significant too. Now, don't be fooled. If a head coach opportunity knocks on the door of Jim Schwartz next year, yeah, he's probably going to talk to him, and yeah, he may get a job. He may be gone as well a year from now, just as Mike Patton was. But just if you're going to, you know, they told us last week in Mobile, we've got a plan, and they are executing the plan right now. And I think Jim Schwartz is a really solid first step towards execution of that plan for the Bills. Nobody wanted to lose Mike Patton, as I said, but man, they got a really good replacement. Most of the NFL focus these days, as you know, is on the New York, New Jersey area and the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 48. They call it Media Day today. Both teams, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks, taking the floor at the Prudential Center, the home of the New Jersey Devils hockey team, for long sessions with thousands of media. Yes, Marshawn Lynch showed up barely today. The running back did not go to the podium, but he talked for about 6 minutes and 20 seconds before he went to a back wall at the Prudential Center. He said he's really not into this talking thing. He ignored the media for most of the afternoon. Marshawn Lynch did answer a question about the opportunity that came to him when he went to the Seattle Seahawks from the Buffalo Bills.
It was an opportunity for me to go and see if there was something else out there. I'm glad I got the chance to do that, you know, to come see some crazy stuff like this right here, though. But, I mean, I'm just, you know, pleased with the opportunity. I won't be satisfied with all this until it's all over.
The win, correct?
That's when I'll be satisfied. So until then, I still got work, but I appreciate this.
Marshawn Lynch walking away from the media. The players are required to attend Media Day. It's unclear whether the league thinks that Marshawn walking away today from the reporters fulfills that requirement. Greg Aiello, a league spokesman, told ESPN.com, quote, players are required to participate, and he participated. So maybe he did fulfill his obligations. Lynch didn't speak to the media for the entire season and got a $50,000 fine. But after he promised to speak, he did both weeks before the playoffs, and they have yet to levy that fine. It doesn't look like he'll be fined for what he did today. Spoke a little bit to the media, not much, didn't entertain many questions. Marshawn being Marshawn. We know what that's like here in Buffalo. One guy who is not afraid to talk and does a really good job of it is Denver Broncos coach quarterback Peyton Manning, who spent a long time at a very crowded podium at the Prudential Center today. He answered a lot of questions about his legacy, and Peyton said he is not interested in talking about where his career might stand in football history, at least not yet. Peyton Manning asked about his legacy today.
I'm not sure you can have a legacy when you're 25 years old or even 37. I thought you had to be like 70 to have a legacy. So I'm not 100% sure what the word even means. I'm still in the middle of my career. Let me rephrase that. I'm down the home stretch of my career, but I'm still in it. It's not over yet, and so it's still playing out. And this has been the second chapter of my career.
Peyton Manning asked about his legacy. I don't blame him. He's still got, you know, he's got to figure, yes, he's in the home stretch, maybe this year, one more, maybe two more. Why should he worry, talk about his legacy? He's not stepping aside. The Super Bowl game on Sunday, his third appearance in the Super Bowl. He has done it twice with the Colts. They won the NFL championship in 2007, then lost in 2010. Why would he worry about his legacy at this point? I understand his answer 100%, but that may be one of the better questions asked all day at Media Day at the Prudential Center. The Super Bowl week rolls along. We'll talk more about the Super Bowl on the radio show tomorrow night. And coaching news from the Carolina Panthers. They have signed head coach Ron Rivera to a 3-year extension through the 2017 season. What a switch. A couple of months ago, it appeared that Rivera might not last through the season after the Panthers started 1-3, including that loss here in Buffalo in week 2. Ron Rivera, 52 years old, he got the Panthers to win 8 straight, 11 of their final 12, and they finished the season with a 12-4 record in the playoffs. Ron Rivera gets a 3-year extension through the 2017 season with the Carolina Panthers. Well, did you know that today, as a matter of fact, is the 23rd anniversary of the great rally down at Niagara Square in downtown Buffalo. After the Bills' loss in Super Bowl 25, you'll remember the next day, a huge rally, Niagara Square, cold, frigid day, maybe not quite as cold as this, but a very cold, frigid day with Marv Levy, several players, and Scott Norwood taking the podium there on the steps of City Hall. I was not there. I was returning home from Super Bowl 25 and missed it, but I did catch the video afterwards. I tell people, I maintain, that was the greatest day in Buffalo sports history. Not the game the day before, but the day after, the rally at Niagara Square. I think it's the greatest day in Buffalo sports history. The act of civic absolution that was bestowed upon Scott Norwood. Tough field goal, 47-yarder, on the grass, game on the line. He missed it. And instead of boos, instead of catcalls, instead of ridicule, people cheered for him. We want Scotty. We want Scotty. He was up there, as you know, with tears in his eyes and addressed the crowd. Just an amazing performance by Norwood and especially by the Buffalo fans. 23 years ago today. If you want to see that, it's going to be up on BuffaloBills.com this evening. You may want to take a look at that and relive the moment. The Niagara Square rally, the rally after Super Bowl 25 with Scott Norwood, with those incredible fans on that cold day in downtown Buffalo. 23 years ago today, you can relive it on BuffaloBills.com if you go to the website later today. We're going to talk about the brand new defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills when we return. Jim Schwartz got the job yesterday. You know that. He was on the podcast yesterday. Today, we'll talk with one of his longtime players in both Tennessee and in Detroit, Kyle Vandenbosch, who had a distinguished career in the NFL, 12 years. We're going to be with Kyle Vandenbosch when we return and get his take on Jim Schwartz, the new defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Are you a coffee lover? Well, at NOCO Express, they don't just fill up your car, they fill up your cup as well. Try a cup of World Cup coffee, now available at most NOCO Express locations. It's perfect for your morning commute or on your lunch break as an afternoon pick-me-up. World Cup Coffee provides the quality and taste you'd expect from a high-end coffee shop, but they've filtered out the high-end price. For a complete list of stores featuring World Cup Coffee, go to noco.com/coffee. World Cup Coffee, coffee done right.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back to John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. The Bills made the announcement yesterday hiring Jim Schwartz, former defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, former head coach of the Detroit Lions, as Buffalo's new defensive coordinator. Our next guest spent 12 years in the NFL, 8 of those years with Jim Schwartz, 5 with the Tennessee Titans, 3 with the Detroit Lions. Defensive end Kyle Vandenbosch is on the line with us from his home in Phoenix. Kyle, thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Your first year with Tennessee, when you came over from Arizona, Jim Schwartz was already there as the defensive coordinator. Did he recruit you to go to Tennessee?
Yeah, he was part of it. I remember when I came through on my visit, sat in his office and had a pretty long discussion with him.
What were your initial impressions of Coach Schwartz?
I think anytime you walk into a room and Coach Schwartz is there, I mean, he makes his presence known. He's probably the smartest guy in the room, and you know, if you have a conversation with him, you can figure that out pretty quickly. And you know, he relates well to his players. I mean, throughout my time playing for him, you know, I had a lot of long conversations with him, and not just as a player coach, but also, you know, I had a different relationship, and you know, I can call him a friend.
It's interesting, Kyle, that you say that, smartest guy in the room. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who covers the Lions, actually does the Lions preseason broadcast down in Detroit, and that's the exact words he used this morning. He said he's the smartest guy in the room. Sometimes that's not such a good thing, is it? Sometimes guys like that can rub people the wrong way.
Yeah, but he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't, you know, try to make it known that he's the smartest guy in the room, but I think you can definitely tell. He knows a lot about football and a lot about, a lot of times, you know, NFL head coaches, defensive coordinators are so wrapped up in what they're doing. They have no idea about what's happening in the world around them. But he did. I mean, he knows, you know, he's got a pretty good general knowledge base about everything. And he uses that in his, you know, talks to the team and talks to the defense. And relates it to football, and I think you you appreciate that as a player.
Kyle, obviously you connected with Schwartz right away, and in fact, your first year in Tennessee, you went to the Pro Bowl. In fact, 3 years of the Pro Bowl as Schwartz is your defensive coordinator. What did he do for you personally and as a player that helped you kind of reach the peak of your career there in Tennessee?
Well, I think some defensive coordinators and some coaches say, okay, here's my system, here's what we're going to do, and you know, here's what you have to do. And it, at times it can turn players into robots. But, you know, what Coach Schwartz did for me from day one and what he does for other players is he caters his defense. He caters his calls, his fronts, you know, his coverages according to his personnel. And I think it gives everybody an opportunity to maximize their potential. And, I mean, it wasn't just me. You know, there was a lot of players, especially when I was in Tennessee, but also my time in Detroit, that played their best football and had their most success because he just allows guys to play. And I mean, you as a defense, and you still have your responsibilities and you have your gap controls. But if you can go make a play, you have that freedom to go make it, and it allows you as a player to just have fun and react and rely on your instincts. And like I said, you're not just a guy out there who's a robot and who's plugging a gap. You're out there making plays, and that's what, you know, allowed our defenses to have, you know, that high number of sacks, both in Tennessee and Detroit. But, you know, he maximized your ability and allowed you to play to your own strengths.
We're on the line with Kyle VandenBosch, former defensive end. He played 8 years of his 12 years in the NFL under Jim Schwartz, both as a coordinator and as a head coach. So Jim Schwartz moves to Detroit to become the head coach in 2010, and you became a free agent, and you didn't waste much time. He didn't waste much time either. Tell the story of how he convinced you to go with him to the Detroit Lions at that time, Kyle.
Yeah, it was. I didn't really know what to expect going into free agency. The only other time I was a free agent was coming out of Arizona. And, you know, I sat there for 4 weeks and didn't get a phone call that my first time as a free agent. And this time, you know, like you said, I just come off a Pro Bowl season, went to 3 Pro Bowls in Tennessee, and you know, I didn't know. I had a pretty good idea of what teams would be interested and what teams would be calling, but I was settled in my home, going to be waiting by the phone. Expecting to take phone calls all night. As soon as it was midnight and free agency started, Coach Schwartz was the first one to call my cell phone, and he said that he was at the end of the driveway, and you know, he wanted to come up and talk. So he came up to the house with a bottle of wine and you know, came in and sat there and talked about football, talked about our scheme, talked about the direction the team was headed, what his goals were, talked about how I would fit in, talked about the city of Detroit. You know, I turned my cell phone off when he got in, and 4 hours later, called my agent and said I was going to be a Lion. So it was a pretty easy process for me.
Wow, that's impressive. Especially impressive since the Lions were just coming off their 0-16 season, right?
Yeah, but you know, having played for Coach Schwartz in Tennessee, I knew what he was capable of. I mean, he's not only, you know, a great X and O's guy. He relates well to players. He motivates players. He challenges the leaders of the team and gives them a lot of responsibility. And you know, I knew that he was the right man for that challenge. And you know, I was honored that he picked me to you know, help be a part of the turnaround.
He had that Lions team in the playoffs just a couple of years later in his third year there. What do you think were the most important things Jim Schwartz did as the head coach at Detroit to get you guys into the playoffs?
I think it was just changing the culture and changing the attitude. You know, obviously when you have a season like that the Lions had, there's going to be a lot of turnover and there's going to have to be a lot of new faces in there, not just because of talent and not just because of ability. It's because, you know, you need to, some of the guys come to expect things and you need to change the attitude and you need to bring some fresh blood in there. And we did. And, you know, he brought in his coaching staff and made it known from day one that it wasn't going to be easy. There was no magic formula. I mean, it was going to take hard work. And that's exactly what we did. I mean, we became a team that works hard every day. You know, that was the big reason for the turnaround. It wasn't, it's not like, you know, going from 6-10 to 10-6. I mean, like you said, he took over a team that was 0-16 and 3 years later went 10-6 and went to the playoffs. So, it wasn't an easy road, but it was, like I said, he was the right man for the job because T himself was willing to do the work. And as a player, when you see that and you see the dedication that he and his coaching staff had, you know, it's pretty easy to follow that direction.
We're talking with Cal Vandenbosch, former defensive end in the NFL, played 8 years with Jim Schwartz as his coach. Just a couple of questions about the type of defense Coach Schwartz ran when you played for him, Kyle. You know, he talked about relying on the front four to put pressure on opposing offenses because he could do that with the talent at Tennessee and Detroit. Do you think you probably have a handle on, you know, the Bills have Marcell Dareus, Kyle Williams, Mario Williams. Do they have that kind of talent, do you think, that would allow them to generate pressure with just the front four?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at their ability and the guys they have, and you look at what they did last year. You know, they finished second, I think, in the league in sacks, and you know, they, like you said, they have that talent. And now, I believe they'll be with this scheme and with what Coach Schwartz will want them and allow them to do. It'll just free them up. It takes a lot of the responsibility off of the defensive line and just allows them to attack. I mean, your number one job with that front is just to penetrate, get in the backfield and get tackles for loss and pressure on the quarterback and quarterback sacks. And, you know, it takes a lot of your hand placement and your run fits and all the other stuff you got to think about as a defensive lineman. It takes a lot of that out of the equation. I mean, your number one job is just to be disruptive. And I think, you know, watching some of their games last year and having played against some of those guys, they definitely have that ability up front.
Kyle, would he move people around? I mean, did you find yourself moving around? Does he like to show opposing offenses multiple looks?
Yeah, he does. I mean, again, Coach Schwartz is he's a mastermind at X's and O's and game planning. And, you know, I think he will utilize, you know, some of the guys and move them around and, you know, maybe move some ends inside on pass rush situations. Or sometimes, you know, there's a lot of times we would come with a 5-man front when we were in Tennessee, and there was times we'd have a 3-man front. I think he will probably change up the defense a lot and change up the front.
There's some talk about, you know, and it's kind of a fad, I think, the wide nine look on the defensive front. He doesn't use that exclusively. In fact, he mentioned here yesterday he'd probably mix that in, but that's not something he would lean on as a defensive staple, is it?
I don't know. Honestly, when I first got to Tennessee, we didn't play hardly any wide nine at all. It became kind of part of an evolution and an adjustment. We played the Colts twice a year, and they ran the stretch play, and we had our defensive ends in an 8 technique or a 7 technique, and they would just take that stretch all the way to the sideline, and there was a heavy burden on that defensive end to stretch it all the way and try to make that play. So we, in order to stop the Colts offense, we put our ends in the 9 and set a hard edge and just shrunk the field for their running game. And it proved that as we got good and perfected that wide nine technique, we were able to really set a hard edge and put the tight end in the backfield, and we were able to constrict the C gap as well. And oftentimes, you know, you get a run and go at that tight end and you put him in the C gap, and you can play both the D gap and the C gap. So, yeah, I mean, we played both. We played head up on tight ends and we played 9 technique. And, you know, I think it's a game plan type thing, whether you play mostly 9 technique or whether you play head up on the tight end.
We're talking with Kyle Vandenbosch. He played for Jim Schwartz, the Bills' new defensive coordinator. Kyle, just a couple more questions. When we talked with Coach Schwartz yesterday, we talked about his Georgetown University background and his interest in analytics and metrics. How did he use those, and how did he present those numbers to players to get them to perform on the field?
Well, he knew a lot of that stuff, but he definitely had to dumb it down a lot for the players and present his you know, his information in simpler terms. But, yeah, I mean, I don't fully understand it. I never really had a full conversation with him about it, but I know he has like a money ball type formula for winning in the NFL or good defense. And it's really quite interesting if you get into it.
What do you think his greatest strength is as a defensive coach?
Like I said, I mean, I think he's a great game plan guy. I think he can come up with good game plans and adjust from week to week. But I think he really relates well to the players, and he's able to present that game plan and the message and motivate. I think, you know, there's a lot of coordinators in this league that are brilliant and really smart and can draw X's and O's on a board and come up with good plays. But I think it's getting the players to understand it, buy in, and believe in it. And I think that's what he does really well.
Kyle, we appreciate you taking the time tonight to talk with us about Coach Schwartz. Thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Kyle VandenBosch, 12-year career in the NFL, 8 of those years with Jim Schwartz, the Bills' new defensive coordinator. He played 5 under Schwartz when he was defensive coordinator in Tennessee, and the last 3 with the Detroit Lions when he was head coach there. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Winter is here. The weather is cold. Stop into your nearest NOCO Express and warm up with World Cup Coffee. It's the perfect cup of warmth for your morning commute or your evening ride home. World Cup Coffee provides the quality and taste you'd expect from a high-end coffee shop without the high-end price. They also have a world of flavors to choose from, like French vanilla, hazelnut, Costa Rica, or 100% Colombian. For a complete list of World Cup or NOCO Express stores featuring World Cup Coffee, visit noco.com/coffee. World Cup Coffee, coffee done right.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Again, thanks to Kyle VandenBosch for joining us on the podcast tonight, talking about his experience with Jim Schwartz. Some very interesting things there. And, you know, the knee-jerk reaction, I know it was asked yesterday of Jim Schwartz about, were you going to play wide 9? No, not every down. They're not going to play wide 9. And you heard VandenBosch really talk about how one of the strengths of Jim Schwartz is that he tailors his defense to what his players can do. I think that bodes very well for a very talented Buffalo Bills defense when you think about the guys that they have, especially in that front 7 and on the back 9 as well, in the backfield as well, other than the front 7. Kyle VandenBosch, who's been retired for just about a year after being released by the Detroit Lions, spent 8 of his 12 years in the NFL with Jim Schwartz, and we thank him for joining us tonight on the podcast. Coming up tomorrow night on the show, we're going to talk with Arthur Motes, Bills linebacker. We're going to talk with Arthur about a variety of things, including his attempt to win the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. Arthur Motes, Bills linebacker, one of the 2 finalists, as NFL players from around the league are trying to recruit 99,000 volunteer readers, tutors, and mentors for the United Way. All you got to do is go to buffalobills.com and look for it. Arthur Motes, you can vote for Arthur Motes. You can volunteer your time to the United Way, your time and sweat equity into social capital. You get great perks, too. You can benefit the United Way, and you can also help Arthur Motes win this contest that continues on this week. It's the United Way Team NFL Playoff Challenge. The winning player gets a $10,000 donation for his local United Way. Arthur Motes, one of the 2 finalists for this award, and the clock is ticking. So make sure you go to buffalobills.com for more information. Make sure you listen to the radio show tomorrow night when we talk with Arthur Motes live about this. Also tomorrow night on the radio show, Marv Levy, Hall of Fame coach, took the Bills to 4 consecutive Super Bowls. He'll be on the line with us tomorrow as he makes his way to New York City for the Super Bowl hoopla. We'll talk with Marv about what it's like to coach in 4 consecutive Super Bowls. Also about Andre Reed, as he makes an attempt this Saturday to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Marv will make the case for Andre Reed coming up tomorrow night on the show. That's all coming up tomorrow night. 7 to 9 p.m. we are live on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks very much for tuning into the podcast tonight. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our producer tonight is Mike Ganimak. The Bills Director of Broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m., with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.